tonight we want to read in John's Gospel and chapter number 10. The Gospel of John in chapter 10. And we're going to read in verse 9 the words of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. John chapter 10, verse 9. The Lord Jesus Christ says there, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now I want to read verse 9 again. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." God will bless this lovely reading and these lovely words of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the help of God tonight, I want to preach the gospel around these lovely words of the Savior. "I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And you know, this is one of seven great statements in John's Gospel that we find that present to us the wonderful fact that Jesus Christ alone can meet the need of humanity. And whatever your need is tonight, that need alone can be met in the Lord Jesus. Perhaps there's someone in the meeting tonight and you're dissatisfied. You're dissatisfied with yourself. You're dissatisfied with life. You long for a meaning to your life. You long that that emptiness within you might be filled. Well, the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." Perhaps there's someone in the meeting tonight, and perhaps you would really like to know God. Perhaps you feel that you're in the dark. You're in darkness. Well, you know the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8, he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." My dear friend, perhaps you're in the meeting tonight, and perhaps you fear death. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." My dear friend, Christ is the answer to your every need. Perhaps you're wondering, well, what is the way to God? We're living in a world full of voices, and one voice is saying this, and another is saying that, and there's a lot of confusion. And people are maybe asking what Thomas asked the Lord Jesus in John 14. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Perhaps you just long for a friend. Perhaps someone just to guide you through life and to be a comfort and a help to you. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And so we could go on. He says in John chapter 15, "I am the vine, the true vine." You see, dear friend, tonight, Christ is the one and the only one that can meet your need. And I just want to focus on this lovely verse. Perhaps there's someone in the meeting tonight and you'd like to know for certain that you're saved and that your sins are forgiven and that when you leave this world that you're going to be in heaven. Well, the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man, any woman, any child enter in, he shall be saved. I just want to preach the gospel tonight around these lovely words. I want to be very simple. And we want to divide this lovely verse, the first part of the verse, into three simple thoughts. We want to think about that statement, I am. We're going to think about the person, I am. And then we're going to think about the picture. He says, the door. I am the door. The Lord Jesus presents himself as the door. And then we're going to think about the promise that he gives to those who enter in through this door. He says, shall be saved. Absolutely emphatic. Shall be saved. And indeed, he doesn't finish there. Not only the promise of salvation, but the promise of spiritual freedom. He says they shall go in and out. And not only that, the promise of lasting satisfaction. He says they shall find pasture. They'll find pasture. Oh, think about this person tonight. This person who stood that day and on these other occasions that we've referred to. And again in John's Gospel, you'll find the Lord Jesus referring to himself as I am. I am. You see, dear friend, this is a title of God. You find it first used in Exodus. When Moses says, whom shall I say sent me? And God answers him. Jehovah answers him. You will say that I am sent you. I am. And so we find the Lord Jesus presenting himself as the great I am. You see, dear friend, he's Jehovah. He's God, manifest in flesh. He had no beginning. He'll have no ending. Why, he says in John chapter 8, he says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, Abraham lived hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was born, before the Son of God came into the world. And yet the Lord Jesus is claiming that he existed before Abraham ever existed. Before Abraham was, I am. How could we go further back than that? The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 17, in that lovely prayer to his Father, he says, Father, glorify thou me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. My dear friend, he existed before the world ever was. Before earth's foundation was ever laid, or Adam's clay was ever fashioned, the Son of God existed. And we'll go further back than that. We'll go further back than time. Right at the start of this gospel, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word is another title of the Lord Jesus. The Logos. The one who reveals God. The one who alone can reveal God. And he says, John says, in the beginning. Now, what beginning was that? Well, it's the unbegun beginning. It's the unbegun beginning. You know, we're going right into eternity. Eternity. Before time began. You see, dear friend, there's never been a moment when the Son of God didn't exist. You see, as a divine person, he has eternally existed. He's the great I am. The great I am. He's the mighty God, says Isaiah. He's the Father of eternity. I wonder, do you have right thoughts about Christ? What think ye of Christ? Is the test. both of your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest if you think not rightly of him. You see, there are those going around your doors today, and they call themselves witnesses. And you know that they are apostles of the devil. You know why? Because they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. That he is indeed God, manifested in flesh. One who's equal with the Father. One who's equal with the Holy Spirit. One who eternally exists. The one that is, the one that was, the one that is to come. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the very cause of all things. And he's the one who eventually will fold this universe up like a woman folds up the tablecloth after the meal. You know, the Lord's going to fold it all up and it's all going to pass away. You see, dear friend, I want you to understand tonight the greatness of this person who stood that day and said, I am. And furthermore, John tells us in John chapter 1 that there was not anything made that was not made by him. Paul tells us in Colossians 1, all things were made by him, that is by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the carpenter from Nazareth. All things were made by him, and for him, and through him, and in him do all things consist. And here we find them standing as a man amongst men. Isn't it amazing to think that this great one, the great I Am, chose to become a babe at Bethlehem? He chose to come into the world of his own volition, his own voluntary will. He made the conscious choice to take to himself humanity. And Mary, the Virgin, conceived him in her very womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the great eternal one, the Son of God, the great Creator, became a seeming helpless babe that Mary cradled in her arms and laid in a manger. It's a great mystery. God confined to a span. You say, well now, that is truly amazing. And here he is standing that day, explaining to men in all their darkness God's way of salvation. And he just takes up a simple, everyday illustration, an illustration from everyday life. Something that the people would understand. Nothing complicated, nothing too technical. He's speaking about a sheepfold, an enclosure, a cote, call it what you like. It was a common thing in the land of Israel. Wherever you went, you would have found these sheepfolds, large enclosures. Usually communal sheepfolds where a number of shepherds would bring their flock at night and shelter them there from the dangers of bears and lions and wolves and thieves and robbers. Because, you know, sheep are very vulnerable, helpless creatures, especially a lost sheep. And, you know, that's just exactly how the Lord describes mankind. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And you see, that's how God, the Lord Jesus, looked upon the multitudes. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And dear friend, if you're sitting in a meeting tonight and you're not saved, then you're lost. And you're just like a lost sheep. And there's nothing more helpless and vulnerable than a lost sheep. Tonight, dear friend, you're in danger. You're in great danger. Not only are being deceived by false teachers, for the Lord speaks here about thieves and robbers. And you know, the world is full of religious thieves and robbers. And Satan uses them to deceive people, to misguide them. And men are so easily led astray, so easily deceived. And Satan is an expert in deception. The Bible describes him as that ancient serpent, the devil. And there are those in Inverleithen tonight, and there are those in Scotland tonight, that are being guided by Satan's artful treachery, and they are hurrying on to endless pain, and they're marching along the road of life beneath the banner of false religion. Oh yes, Satan uses religion to deceive people. Religion that's full of lies. You know, Isaiah says, quoting the scornful people of his day, Isaiah the prophet. You know, judgment was coming upon the land of Israel at that time. And Isaiah is raised up by God to warn the nation of Israel, to warn the people that judgment was coming. They just laughed at Isaiah. They said, Isaiah, death and hell's not going to swallow us up. We've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. You know, it's so sad tonight to think that so many in Scotland have made lies their refuge. Lies. And falsehood. The lie of atheism. The lie of agnosticism, humanism. The lie of institutionalized Christianity and false religion. And there are people, sadly, who have been deceived to put their confidence in what really amounts to a lie. Friend, if you want the truth tonight, Jesus said, I am the truth. All the truth that you need is found in a person. It's not found in a religion. It's not found in a particular group. The truth, the absolute truth, is found in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And so men are in danger. Not only are being deceived by false religion and false teachers, but they're in danger of coming under the righteous judgment of God on account of their sin. You see, dear friend, sin pays wages. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death. Eternal separation from God. You see, that's what brought the Son of God into the world. Why did he leave the majesty and the beauty and the glory of heaven to come into this world and to grow up in poverty? And eventually to be despised and rejected. And eventually to be cast out as worthless and crucified and slain upon a Roman gibbet. Why did he come into the world? The Bible tells us he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And my dear friend in the meeting tonight, if you're not saved, you're lost. Just as I once was. And the sad thing is, there are so many men are leaving tonight that are lost and they don't know it. And they don't realize it. And it's a great thing when a sinner discovers that they're lost. Because it's only then that they'll want to do something about it and they'll want to get saved. I remember there's a little boy in Dunoon, been along at Giles Street. You know, the times when Dunoon used to be crowded with holidaymakers. Especially at the Glasgow Fair Fortnight when they went down the water, the Costa Clyde. And I remember this particular day, the Argyll Street was crowded and I was going along it with my father and my mother. And I got distracted. I was looking in a window, I can't remember, probably it was a toy shop or something, but I was looking in a window. And my father and mother, they went on. They didn't realise that I wasn't walking behind them. And they went on into the crowd and away they went. And there I was, looking in the window, not realising that I was lost. Quite happy. That's just like sinners, you know. The old devil knows how to attract you. And to keep you occupied. And tonight there are sinners and they're looking, as it were, in the shop window of this world, and they're taken up with the passing pleasures of this life and this world and the pleasures of sin, and the old devil's got them there, you know. They don't realise that they're lost and that they're away from God. Well, you know, eventually I looked around and realised my mum and dad weren't around. And then I lifted my voice, began to howl. Until eventually they came back looking for me and they found the wee howling boy. You see, when I realised I was lost, I did something about it. I called. And friend, if you realise you're lost tonight, if you realise that you're just like a lost sheep and you're helpless and you've discovered that you're a sinner and you need to get saved, well, you know, you just got to call. There's a God who hears you. The Bible promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so the Lord Jesus presents himself as the picture of the door. You see, the shepherds took it in turn each night to sweep across the entry to the fold, so that as they lay there, they actually became the door. Nobody could get in and nothing could get out other than through them. So in that sense, they became the door. That's what the Lord Jesus means when he says, I am the door of the sheep. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying in this text, if you want saved, if you want salvation, then I am the door. I'm the only one through whom you can be saved. There's no other door, no other Saviour. You notice, he doesn't say, I am a door. One of many. As though there was lots of other doors, lots of other Saviours. No, he says emphatically, I am the door. The door. The only door. If by me, he says. You see, dear friend, there is only one Saviour. And that is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. There is only one Saviour. There is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom on behalf of all. You see, Jesus Christ is the only Saviour, not because he's the great I Am, not because he is a divine person, because he is the Creator, and he can therefore do whatever he wishes. No. God will never act contrary to his character. And God's character is absolutely righteous and holy. And because God is righteous and holy, he cannot overlook the sins of men and women. His justice demands that sin must be justly, fully punished. That is only just, isn't it? I mean, what would you think of a high court judge who says to the man in the dock who's just been found guilty of a serious criminal act? What would you think if a high court judge had just said, well, away you go home and let's forget all about it and try to be better in the future? It would be a riot, wouldn't it? It would be headline news, high court judge releases criminal. No, you see, it doesn't matter how benevolent, how kind the High Court judge may be, how sympathetic towards the man in the dock or the woman in the dock, because he's a High Court judge, he represents the law. And therefore he must sentence the person according to the demands of the law. Justice demands that the criminal must be punished and punished appropriately for his crime. Everyone said, yeah, that's right. They all agree. And then when you tell them that God's going to punish them for their sins, you say, oh, I don't believe that. That's not fair, is it? I thought God was a God of love. I thought God was merciful and kind, and so he is, but he's a just God. And because he's a just God, he demands that my sin must be punished justly. And my sin deserved eternal death. That's what my sin deserved. My friend, I deserve to be in hell tonight. And I deserve to be in the lake of fire for all eternity. And I deserve to suffer night and day forever and ever for all my sins, for all my transgressions, all my offenses against my Maker. I deserve eternal death. But Jesus died for me. You see, friend, justice has been satisfied in the death of Jesus Christ. For on the cross, Jesus Christ bore my sins in his own body on the tree. I can say that as a believer. He died for me. It was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. It was for me. I'll shout and sing, he died for me, my Lord and King. Every believer in this meeting tonight can say like Paul, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And there at Calvary's cross, the sinless Savior suffered and bled and died between two common malefactors, two common criminals. The Son of God suffered and bled and died on account of sin, the sin of a guilty one. Friend, that you might have the opportunity of being forgiven, of being saved. And that's why he's the only Savior. He's the Good Shepherd who has laid down his life for the lost sheep. Mm-hmm. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. It cost the shepherd everything. It cost him the dreadful sufferings of the cross, the death of the cross, so that lost sinners might have the opportunity of being saved. But not only did he die, but he says here, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. My dear friend, what a power the shepherd has. His power over death. He voluntarily went into death on the cross, and 3 days later, he came out of death. And he's alive, bodily alive, from the dead. I tell you, I'm glad he's my shepherd tonight. I'm glad I've entered him. Jesus Christ is inviting you tonight to enter him. To the safety of the fold. He's saying, I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. Tell me, if you enter in, are you saved? Saved or you're lost. You can't be both. You're not one foot inside and one foot outside. You're either in or you're out. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. An inside and outside. On which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you, friend? Have you ever entered in? Now, I'm not asking you if you've ever joined the church. I'm not asking you if you've ever taken communion. I'm not asking you if you've ever been baptized. You can be all that and be on the road to hell. There's many in hell tonight that won't sign in church choirs. Aye, there's many in hell tonight that won't sat in student pulpits and preach. but never born again. You know, when D.L. Moody came to this country in the 1800s to preach, you know how many ministers got saved? 100. Well, nothing against ministers. I'm not here to preach against ministers, but I'm just telling you that you can be the most religious person, as I've said, even to be a priest or a minister, and still on the road to hell. Friend, it's not religion you need, it's salvation. I wonder at the end of it, are you still outside the door? The Lord said to you tonight, I am the door. By me, if you will enter in, you will be saved. Would you not want to be saved? Would you not want to know that your sins are forgiven? That you have eternal life? That you're destined for eternal glory? Would you not want that? It's the greatest thing that could ever happen. It's the greatest blessing that a human being could ever receive or experience. The blessing of salvation. And you can have it tonight if you prepare to take him at his word. I thank God for the night I entered in. Put my trust in Jesus Christ and I entered in. Friend, you can enter in now. Only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? Come in thy sin, confessing to him thy Saviour vow. Only a step, only a step. Come. He waits for thee. Come in thy sin confessing. Thou shalt receive a blessing. Only a step. Only a step. Come. He waits for thee. Will you not come to him tonight? Whilst the door is open, he's saying, I am the door. Mm-hmm. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Will you enter in? Can you not take him at his word? The Son of God, the mighty God who became that seeming helpless infant at Bethlehem and grew up at Nazareth and went all the way to Calvary to save a soul like you. Can you turn away from him tonight? Can you turn away from this door? Well, friend, you've a choice to make. You either enter in tonight or you turn away. Oh, you see, there may be plenty of other days, plenty of other opportunities, and I'll maybe enter in then. Friend, this might be your last. None of us know what a day holds. None of us know what tomorrow holds. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Lord only promises you now, this moment. This moment. He promises you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Dear friend, enter in. Enter in whilst you can. He's not only the escape from God's judgment, he is that. He's God's emergency door. You know, when you fly in the planes, when you're flying, you know, you have to listen to the air crews that tell you what to do in the event of an emergency. And one of the things they'll point out to you is the emergency doors, you know, two at the back, four at the side, two at the front. And lights to guide you. And so it's a wise person, if you're staying in a hotel, it's a wise person who reads the instructions in the back of the door that tells you where your nearest fire escape is. Isn't that right? And if a fire was to break out, man, you wouldn't be lingering. You'd be heading for the nearest emergency door. If that plane took a crash landing, you'd be looking for the nearest exit, wouldn't you? My dear friend, understand tonight you're in danger. You're in danger. You're in danger of going down. You're in danger of being lost eternally. You need to be saved. Thank God there's an emergency door. Jesus says, I am the door. Friend, make your escape tonight. Come to Christ whilst you can, lest the hand of God remove you in judgment and you're lost forever. But you know, not only is he way of escape, the deliverer from judgment, but thank God he's the way to life. This door leads into life. Why, he says, I am come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. Life in all its fullness. Friend, not only will God save you from your sins tonight, but you become the possessor of life, eternal life. A quality of life as well as a quantity, one that goes on forever. It's a quality of life. Life eternal. You can have that tonight. If you're only about entering. I was preaching out in Botswana in Africa there back in March, April time. I was out there preaching. I remember one night I was preaching in an empty shop. Bailey's Store it was called. An empty shop, a store that one of the missionaries had was hiring to preach the word. It was full of people. Sitting there was a lovely, beautiful young woman. Kenitze. Had heard the gospel on a number of occasions. Her sister, her older sister, was a baptized believer. Kenitze. That night she said to Dimpo, her older sister, after the meeting, I preached on this very text, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Said Nkenitsi to her sister, she says, too long I have stood at the door. Tonight I entered in. She was wonderfully saved. She entered in. A young woman in Botswana is on the way to heaven tonight. And here's you in privileged Scotland. And you still not entered in. Friend, are you going to enter in tonight? Why linger on the outside when you could be in the inside? May the Lord help you to enter in tonight. Shall we? Our Father, we bow to bless thee again for these amazing words of the Lord Jesus, words that thrill the heart of every believer, words of assurance and confidence. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. We thank you for this promise of salvation, and we do long, O God, that every soul here, if never before, might enter in and enter now, to put their trust in the Lord Jesus and receive thy great salvation and the gift of eternal life. We ask thy blessing in our Saviour's name. Amen. Now we'll just take time to sing a verse or two for him. Number 196. 196, come every soul, thy sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. We'll sing the third verse only. Verse number 3. Just remain seated in the chorus.
Yes, Jesus is the truth.